Japanese would be proud. You waited until the meal was done. But at this point, hit me with it and let us both get on with our days.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, when I was young and when I was, of course, I feel young. I feel like I'm 30, 35, 39. Somebody said, are you young? I said, I think I'm young.
So we get Cedric once, and then Cedric is furious. And if Cedric is furious, then his publicist is furious. And then we're completely blacklisted. You know why? Because the publicist has a Rolodex of other celebrities. That means no Louis C.K., no Drew Barrymore. That means no Taylor Swift. And if you don't get Tay-Tay, you never come back.
Nothing without Tay-Tay.
That's very true.
Tay-Tay. I didn't think about that.
And now,
I think this is a marvelous idea.
You do?
This is America. No one can tell you you're crazy.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, the 8th of March. How are y'all?
Doing good.
Gangster.
Where's the pretty one? Is he on vacation?
He is. And you know that. That's why you played a bunch of Taylor Swift crap.
That's not true. It just came up in rotation.
Uh-huh.
Untrue at all. We got rid of the pretty one, and Mike's filling in.
Blech.
Sorry,
so Mike. Gross. Now
I am what I am.
You do the best you can.
Exactly.
Hey, I have a thing I want to talk about, and I'm glad you're here, Mike, because I've not heard you weigh in on this ongoing drama in my neighborhood. But I first want to ask Chip, little Chip, what have we played so far on International Women's Day? In our tribute to Lady Singers, what selections have we heard already?
All right, so we left off with No Doubt, but before that we played Bishop Briggs, The Cardigans, and Lord.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, right?
Mike, were you on the show, or was the famous Cardigans interview pre the Catherine?
That was pre me, but I am, as a fan of the show, am very aware.
Allie, did you ever hear the Cardigans interview?
Oh yeah, but if you haven't, I'd like
to
hear some.
I don't think I do, but it was the worst. Maybe the worst interview in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show, and that is saying something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came in about the time that Love Fool song that we played was popular, and they did not want to be here.
Their big point of contention also was they're Swedish, and you were always talking about Norway?
That was part of it, yes.
Yeah.
And in my defense, it was terrible, and I never claimed to be good at this, but in my defense, we had a lot of questions for the Cardigans. We were well prepared for that interview. Yet they were the king of one-word or no-word answers. And let me just tell you, here's a pro tip. You burn through your questions pretty fast when the answers come back like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at some point, we're just scrambling. Like, what else? Well, I've been to a country near yours. You know, that's how low down on that. I mean, we were this close to, so do you like pasta? I mean, that's really where we were at in this interview. And the one dude, I think the drummer, fell asleep during the interview, like literally fell asleep, put his head down on the desk and fell asleep while we were on the air.
Okay, I understand not everybody wants to talk for a living. Mm-hmm. And some people are just a little bit more antisocial and against the idea of having an interview. But doesn't common courtesy come into play at some point? Don't you say, hey, these guys are trying really hard. It's not their choice to be here either. They're at work.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I think there are a lot of musicians who just, they're cut out. They're in that business because they like the music, and they have no time for the nonsense.
Well, the whole band doesn't have to go. You can have two people who like to talk go, and then the people who aren't into it.
Which we see from numerous bands. You know, you see that with Muse. You see that with Coldplay. You see that with a lot of bands where they've got some people who enjoy the process. Send them.
The Foo Fighters is a perfect example. I mean, do they ever send anybody besides Taylor or Dave? They love it. They love to chop it up.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Let Chris and Nate relax.
So anyway, when I hear the Cardigans, I can't help but have a bad flashback. One of the low points of the show. All right, here's what I need your opinion on. Allie, you're going to be very interested to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you about, I think we did a segment on it where we tried to decide whether I was a snitch or not, whether I should tell the neighbors that the police have come by their house.
Yes.
Twice looking for them during the day. Okay, it happened again yesterday.
Oh, no.
I'm out on the front porch, and with the dogs, I'm reading a book, and the popo pulls up. And by the way, just as an aside, this is the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Department, not New Orleans PD. So the Sheriff's Department pulls up onto my street. It's a one-way street. And he just leaves his car in the middle of the street and gets out to walk up to the neighbor's house.
Sure.
Okay? A car behind him waits about 5 seconds and then lays on the horn, knowing that it's the sheriff's department vehicle. Now, granted, in that driver's defense, he may have had someplace to go, and there's a car in front of him literally blocking the street.
Yeah. Oh, it's blocking the street? There's
no way around it?
It's a one-way street, yes. Would you in a million years, though, lay on the horn at a sheriff's department vehicle if it was in front of you? Wouldn't you give that guy the benefit of the doubt and wait at least a while before you said or did anything?
Yeah.
I would wait almost an interminable amount of time because I'm thinking it's LAPD, and I'm not doing that to the LAPD.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
So, in a different town,
who knows? But that does seem a little bit ballsy.
It was very ballsy, yeah. And the officer, who at this point is on my neighbor's front porch, turns around and says, "Hey, what are you honking at me for? It'll just be a minute." So he was having none of it. He just made the guy wait, you know? Uh-huh. All right, so he knocks on the neighbor's door. This is now the third time that I have witnessed the sheriff's department coming for the neighbor. Knocks on the door and patiently stands there, and I'm out on the porch, and I says to the officer, I says, just like I said to the last officer, I said, "They are daytime working people. They're, you know, pretty much 9-to-5ers, so they're not home." And he's like, "Oh, they're not home right now?" And I said, "No, I said, you know, they'll be home, you know, after 5. And I thought, because I didn't do this last time, I thought, "Hey, any message? I see him all the time. I'd be happy to pass along a message if you need me to." And he's like, no, I'll just come back.
Huh.
And then he got in his car and left. And I puzzled till my puzzler was sore, because what are the circumstances that the sheriff's department would come to your house at least 3 times, knock on the door, and then leave? I keep thinking if it was something significant, if it was something important, they would come when they knew you were there. Right?
Yeah, and if it was significant and important, he wouldn't leave his car in the middle of the street in case he had to have a serious chat, in case he had to arrest him, in case any of those things. So I'm sure it's a bake sale.
If it was dangerous, they ain't knocking.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So what can it be? Look, maybe we have some law enforcement listening that can tell me what would have law enforcement go to somebody's house 3 separate occasions, knock on the door, and then just leave and then come back another time. Because Donna and I were talking about it last night. The sheriff's department wouldn't be delivering like a summons or a warrant or anything like that, would they? Could it just be a paperwork thing?
Well, maybe they would. Aren't the sheriffs more prone to doing something judicial system related than the cops?
That's what I don't know. I don't know.
That's part of the deal.
And if you're trying to serve someone, do you allow it to take weeks?
Maybe they're on they're the innocent party involved in something. Maybe they have a restraining order that they're filing or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Or my wild imagination, because it's New Orleans, is going to it's the Big Easy. The cops are on the lam and your neighbors are in the mafia or something, and they have the cops on a payroll.
What are you even talking about?
I think this is right.
Because, you know, you always hear, it's probably all BS, but you always hear those, the legend of New Orleans is that it's, you know, everyone's kind of, all the cops are on the take, and that there's underground crime, and it's all kind of cool and...
How dare you? I mean, it's a little shady, but how dare you, first of all?
Oh, yeah, like I said, it's probably total fantasy, but...
All right, Muggs has an idea. Muggs, what's going on with my neighbors? The sheriff's department has been out 3 times looking for them, has not gotten them yet, and it doesn't seem to be that urgent.
I just had a listener call up. He is part of law enforcement, but I couldn't type it up on the screen. That's why I'm coming in. He says it's witness interviews. So they're coming back on different occasions to get interviews from... Your neighbor could possibly be a witness to a crime or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that? So they're not in any trouble.
Right.
They're assisting the police.
Right, because the officer also said Mike had a good point. If they wanted to get in, they're kicking the door down.
Right. Or come if they're told by somebody, hey, they work during the day. Police officers work around the clock. There's always somebody on shift.
Right.
Somebody would come by at 7 p.m. if they knew they were going to be home then, if it was important.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So witness maybe. Okay. All right. But well, Allie, wasn't your theory? What?
Go ahead.
Your theory last time was that they had a meth lab in the basement or something. Like you were convinced that there was something bad going on at the house next door, right?
I thought it was at your house and your neighbors had complained. But here's what I think. Now that you've actually had two conversations with officers, all it's going to take is that same officer to finally meet back up with them and say, oh, yeah, your neighbor told us to come by later. And then your neighbor knows that you've known this whole time. You've got to go over and say, hey, cops have come by a couple times. Just want to make you aware of it.
So you think I look like a dick if I don't give them a heads up if they find out
at
later?
At this point, yeah. You've talked to two different officers.
That's a very good point because eventually the cops are going to let them know. Oh, yeah, the 11-foot guy next door, he totally let us know your total schedule and when to come get you.
Look, I'm an American. I don't want to get involved, you guys. Come on. All right, I'll keep you posted, but I was very surprised to see that they're still out there looking for the neighbors, so we'll find out what happens. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I love farting.
I can't help you with that, Allie, but we do have an outstanding program for you today, including more tickets to the sold-out 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show at the end of the month. We got those for you around 7 a.m. today. It is International Women's Day. We're going to be playing songs from the ladies all day long today, and I think we're going to have a fun conversation also in the 7 o'clock hour. What is the greatest song ever sung by a woman? All right? The greatest song ever sung by a woman in the history of music. I think that'll be fun and we'll never come to a conclusion. But we'll have that coming up on today's show. What's Up with Florida is back. Jim Rome talks sports on the program today. We got a brand new internet roundup. And why is Mike Catherwood's spam filter so ineffective? I think we'll have to discuss that as well. It's all coming up in our first What's Happening with Allie right after this on K-Rock. What a great voice. What a great band. What a nice lady. Florence and the Machine here on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ as we continue our celebration of International Women's Day, and that reminds me, Allie's here with What's Happening.
It being International Women's Day reminded you?
Yeah, because now I hand it off to a capable lady.
Wow. Mm. Hold on. Dear Diary, today at 5:55, Bean said something nice about my ladiness.
Yeah.
Good times. You guys watch The Impractical Jokers?
I have. Which one is that?
They're the guys from Staten Island, and they have the earpiece, and they have to say certain things, and if they don't say it...
True TV, they sell out arenas.
Oh, internationally, not just here in America. They are huge.
They have
a
cruise. They have their own cruise.
Oh, yeah. They're no joke, which is one of the reasons that True TV has renewed Impractical Jokers for an 8th season. And not only just an 8th season, a 26-episode 8th season. And that's going to extend the series through 2019 beyond and 200 episodes in all by the time they're done with it. By the way, they also have commissioned a feature-length film that will be produced by Funny or Die.
Oh, damn.
These guys are doing all right.
Good for them.
Absolutely.
I've had them on Loveline a couple times, and they're really just kind of bros from Long Island that thought they were funny and did funny pranks, and they parlayed this into this empire. Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a consistent performer for True TV, averaging about 1.7 million viewers, but the key is 1.2 million of them fall into that 18 to 49 demographic. That's what you want for the ratings for that type of show. It's true. Have you guys heard about the nor'easter slamming the East Coast right now?
That's a serious storm right there.
Really serious.
How many hundreds of thousands of people are still without power? How about your family in Maine?
They were just starting to get snow around 4 p.m. yesterday.
Okay.
And they were supposed to get upwards of 21 inches. But it was the 45-mile-per-hour winds that were going to make...
Oh!
Yeah. That were going to make the... what's it when snow's wind up chill? Against a wall?
A wall?
Like just walls of snow.
Jon Snow.
They were going to get a lot of Jon Snows. Yeah. What am I trying to think? Snowdrift.
Snow by Informer?
Bless you. Yes.
Informer by Snow.
Yes. My mom just called me. She's like, a licky boom boom down. And I was like, Mom, that is weird talk. Well, it's good for some people, like people in New York City, that would like to get a last minute Broadway ticket. Because so many people that would travel into the city to see a show aren't. And so many people that work on Broadway live right around there, so the show must go on. So, Dear Evan Hansen posted on their Twitter feed yesterday, winter snow warning, this nor'easter might surprise you in an amazing way. Visit our cancellation line at the Music Box Theater. 2 o'clock and 8 p.m. performances will go on as planned, and snow day discounts. I mean, you win if you're a student in New York City. You're like, I'm not doing anything. School's probably canceled. Let's go see a Broadway show I've been wanting to see that's been sold out forever. So that's good.
That's something
very
I've always...
information for our listeners.
Always very jealous of is kids getting snow days off. Growing up here in L.A., I can't wrap my head around it. Like, guess we're not going to school today.
We got a couple no air conditioning days in June because they had effed up the air conditioning. So they moved us into these, like, modular classrooms. And then the air in there went out. So they were like, nope, too hot for the kids. That ruled.
That sounds like really good technical work at a school.
Listen, I'm not saying I went to great schools growing up. How dare you, Mike? Mike just said I was poor.
I didn't. I
he
said
did.
That
he
maybe.
Did. He said your parents didn't love you
the
enough
public
to send
school
you.
District that you're at is inefficient.
All right.
That's all.
Okay, Mike. Glad you're here.
Uh-huh.
Some birthdays for you. Tattoo artist, makeup artist. She does everything. Kat Von D. Actor Freddie Prinze Jr. Actor James Vanderbeek. News anchor Lester Holt. And actress Milana Weintraub. And that's what's happening.
Right? Come on. Who's with me, you guys?
Oh, sorry. Can't wake up.
A lot of love online. Dave put up a little Twitter poll about what ladies, listeners, would like to hear for International Women's Day today. And a lot of votes for Evanescence. Not Evanescence. Different band altogether. So we thought we'd play that one here this morning.
Never enough girls.
Well, we're doing the best we can, Rodney. Hey, your chance to win tickets for the sold-out 10th Annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show coming up in just a few minutes. Jim Rome on Sports What's Up with Florida. A brand-new internet roundup all coming up. K-Rock. First, though, Mike Catherwood.
Yo.
You have a lot to say off the air, and I think it might be fun to share some on the air about this controversy over Canelo Alvarez. Why don't you bring folks up to speed who may not be boxing fans?
Canelo Alvarez tested positive for a substance called clenbuterol in preparation for the sequel fight with Triple G. Now, it would make a lot of sense that a boxer would use a drug like clenbuterol. It was originally invented for asthma patients. It's a bronchodilator, helps you breathe and open up your lungs.
Okay.
And it also they found subsequently can help you raise your thermic rate and your basal metabolic rate, and you can shed body fat.
Oh.
So if you want to make weight and keep weight and preserve muscle, it's a great compound. It's unfortunately not allowed in boxing. He claims he ate too much Mexican meat.
Excuse me?
Yes. Tainted Mexican meat, also what I call my penis. But now that sounds preposterous.
It does.
But it might make some sense in that Mexican and Chinese cattle oftentimes are given clenbuterol, especially during birthing phases. It's something to do with, like, it relaxes the uterine walls and stuff. Like, I have no idea. It affects the cattle much differently.
But how much meat would he have to be eating?
A lot.
Okay.
Now,
which he might be.
Which he might
lot.
Be. I mean,
okay.
The guy's burning 18,000 calories a day, training three times a day.
Right.
So wait, hold on, Mike. Hold on. So if this drug shows up commonly in meat in Mexican, does that mean average non-athlete citizens are walking around with this substance in their bodies too? And if so, how is it damaging to them? Is it harmful?
No, not at the levels that it would be at if you're just getting it from the meat. But
okay.
a Houston Texans defensive lineman, offensive tackle, I should say, he skated on testing positive for the same drug for the same reason. He went on vacation in Mexico, and he proved to the NFL and to judges that he ate – he had receipts for 10 hamburgers and 2 steaks, and they tested the meat at the resort he was at, and it had clenbuterol
on
it.
You're kidding.
So this isn't that crazy.
So it's kind of legitimate.
Wow.
But I don't think it's legitimate. I mean, no, just because it's far too effective a drug it's patently for a combat athlete.
So you think he's eating a bunch of meat to hide the fact that he's also injecting himself with clenbuterol?
Right.
Okay.
Wouldn't Canelo, he's not eating red meat. Don't you think he's eating more lean proteins at this point?
I don't know. I mean,
I
would imagine the guy has a diet far different than any average human because of the level, the extent of his training. But this is like, this is just one in a long line of insane things that athletes say when they test positive.
Huh.
Well, even what's her face? Pretty tennis lady who said she had no idea.
Sharapova?
Maria Sharapova.
Maria Sharapova. Yeah, yeah. It seems like almost every time an athlete tests positive for something, there is some quote-unquote explanation that they offer.
And here's the thing. I hate to get on my high horse, but I'm going to ask you. If when I say baseball and steroids, give me a list of names that come to your head.
Barry Bonds.
McGuire.
Sammy Sosa. Yeah, the bad skin.
Mark McGuire.
Yes.
Barry Bonds. Sammy Sosa. I would say Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens, sure.
You know what name never gets brought up?
What?
Jason Giambi. You know why?
Tell me.
Because in the history of all athletes, he's the only one who goes, yeah, I'm really sorry. I hope the fans can forgive me. I was trying to get an advantage. I get paid money to perform at a really high level, and I was trying to take advantage of the system, and I really, really hope the fans can forgive me.
Oh.
The end!
Oh.
Not like Chelsea goalkeeper who claimed that he tested positive for cocaine because he was teaching his wife a lesson. I told her that for every line of cocaine she took, I would take two, and that's exactly what I did. I wanted her to let her know. I wanted to let her know just how damaging the drug is.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's a champion.
Yeah.
Almost as good as San Francisco Giants outfielder Melky Cabrera, who created a fake website, paid someone $10,000 to create a fake website, selling a fake product. He then claimed he accidentally ingested the performance-enhancing drug in that said fake product.
Wow.
The FBI traced the receipts and his IP address and said, hey, you created this address and this isn't a real product. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess I just took steroids.
I feel like he went the extra mile, though.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta respect the commitment. What about Richard Gasquet? He is a French tennis player who claims that he tested positive for cocaine because he made out with a stripper who was snorting it the night before.
I love that excuse.
Champion.
Absolutely. By the way, did that one wash with the committee or did?
No, I don't think that one.
Okay,
I don't think that one made it through. A 1992 American sprinter. His name is Dennis Mitchell. This one's pretty good, even if he's totally lying, which he probably was. I'm happy that he said this. I tested positive for testosterone because I was really manly last night. It was my birthday. My lady deserved a treat. I had sex with her 5 times and had 3 beers.
What language is that translated from,
what?
By the way?
That's an American.
So,
is he claiming that he pumped himself up with testosterone?
Yeah. No, he's claiming that because he banged so much, his testosterone was high.
Okay.
I don't.
Because he has so much manliness.
Yeah. Immediately, a panel of scientists said that's utterly impossible.
Yes.
This is the best. This is officially the best.
Okay.
All right.
North Korean women's soccer team.
Oh, no.
At the 2011 World Cup, 5 members tested positive for testosterone, okay? The handlers explain that all 5 players were struck by lightning, skewing their hormonal profile. Subsequently, they had to use traditional Chinese remedies involving deer musk gland to help recover.
What are the chances?
Right?
Unbelievable.
And that they were able to play.
Yes.
It sounds very reasonable. Very, very much so.
Oh, my God.
A Cuban high jumper said that anti-Fidel Castro rebels spiked his diet.
I mean, possible.
Javier Sotomayor says that people were upset that he was competing for Cuba, and anti-Fidel Castro rebels actually spiked his food and his energy drink leading up to the Pan American Games in 1999. And then Fidel Castro backed him up.
No.
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, the Cuban American Mafia probably did it.
I can't.
Do you remember Floyd Landis?
No.
Sounds familiar.
Was he a Tour de France guy?
Yes. He won the 2006 Tour de France. He was one of the first guys to come out against Lance Armstrong.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he tested positive for testosterone, he blamed the test results on drinking too much whiskey the night before. Which is,
I mean, I feel manly when I drink whiskey, so
don't
I get
you?
It.
Yeah. Don't you?
Yeah.
By the way,
Canelo Alvarez is starting to look pretty reasonable right now.
Out of all these people, I mean, right? This doesn't seem that crazy, especially when there's already been a guy who got off on clenbuterol because of tainted Mexican cattle.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was smart to go with that and not the old hit by lightning excuse.
Okay, wait. I have one last one, and I think this might actually be better than hit by lightning.
All right.
Tyler Hamilton, a U.S. cyclist, was nailed for blood doping in 2004. He claims that his blood profile was off because of a vanishing twin that he had absorbed into his own body before birth.
Yay! You know, that does happen.
we were talking about criminals who are so effective that you honestly like consider giving them a pass.
Yeah.
That's such a creative and imaginative excuse. I want to give them some points. I don't know if I'll give them a pass, but come on. Good
on
you.
Genius.
Right?
It's
Vanishing Twin?
Come on with it. Come on, right?
Love
How about
it.
That, you guys? How about the late, great Dolores O'Riordan there and some cranberries here on International Women's Day on the world-famous K-Rock? Hey, Allie, ahead of what's happening, we have to give away some more tickets for the sold-out Kevin Amin April Foolishness.
Nice.
10th annual show coming up at the end of the month on the 31st at the Microsoft Theater. By now, you know it's a great comedy lineup, completely sold out. We've been doing jokes from you. We've been doing knock-knock jokes and blonde jokes. I think it's time for Guy Walks Into a Bar jokes. Haven't done those yet.
Strong.
So it doesn't have to be a guy. It can be a priest and a rabbi. It can be a horse, but somebody's got to walk into a bar. That's all we're asking. If somebody walks into a bar at the beginning of your joke, we want to hear your joke. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to tell your joke. Someone wins tickets to the sold-out Kevin Amin April Fool's just coming up right after the top of the hour. Call now. Good luck from K-Rock. All right, Allie, you're up. What's happening?
So it can be a priest, a rabbi, a horse. Who else could it be, do you think?
It could be anything.
Like what?
Literally, it could be a ghost.
Okay.
It could be a turkey. Uh-huh. I don't care who it is.
I've heard hippopotamus.
Okay.
A hippopotamus walks into a bar. If your
right.
joke starts that way, I'm very intrigued.
Okay.
So that's what we're looking for this time around for the tickets.
Now I feel like if we get a guy walks into a bar, we're going to be let down.
It's going to be
kind
of boring, right?
Can you make it Satan, please?
Well, we did just hear the Cranberries, and the late Cranberries lead singer Dolores O'Riordan completed vocals for their new album with the band before she passed away. Their website says the album will be released in early 2019, and there's also going to be a deluxe edition of the Cranberries' debut album. Everybody else is doing it, so why can't we? To celebrate its 25th anniversary, and that is going to be coming out later this year. So it's going to be great to have any new music from her, but I didn't know that she had completed all the vocals. That's amazing.
Yes. Sad, but also, you know, silver lining there.
Absolutely.
At least get some new music from her.
Yeah. Do you guys ever wake up and you're just like, damn it, still not Oprah Winfrey?
All the time.
I do it all the time.
And I mean lying next to me in bed. I'm like, oh, darn it, still not Oprah.
I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, in this case, you're definitely going to wish you are either Oprah or waking up next to her, because she reportedly made $110 million this month.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
This month?
$110 million this month.
You don't mean March.
Yep. She sold 2 million of her shares of Weight Watcher stock.
Wow.
So she had originally bought the stock back in 2015 and was hoped to cash it in with its turnaround. But she also donated 361,000 shares to her charitable foundation, which then got them $22.6 million.
Oh, man. It's hard to comprehend the kinds of numbers that she deals with on a daily basis.
Unbelievable. And if you think about it, just the power of Oprah. After she became the spokesperson for the brand Weight Watchers, the stock, which had been selling at under $7 a share, gained 32% this year alone, closing at $62.99.
Oh, man.
I mean, she could sell anything.
Yeah.
I think about, like, how a lot of people like to poke fun at Oprah, and she certainly has set herself up for that. But at the same time, don't you think she's awfully normal and reasonable, considering how famous and powerful and rich she is?
Yeah.
I mean, she's as normal as you possibly could be.
She doesn't seem like a crazy weirdo.
Yeah,
like, you know.
There's nothing super, like, you're like, oh, that's so extravagant. That's ridiculous.
Right, right.
You know she has her own jet. She has huge homes, all of that. But she's also training her own dogs and just hanging out with her gal pal.
Right, and there's no pool parties with just, like, you know, random slaves that she finds from all over the world. And, you know, like, there's no William Randolph Hearst behavior. She's
I think you're right, Mike. I feel like she could own people and we'd allow
it. I mean, there's no I'm going to fly to the moon, screw you all. She's as normal as she could be.
The only thing that I kind of went, oh, Oprah, was when she admitted she has never pumped her own gas and she has no idea how.
Yeah, but I hate to say this on International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. I bet there's a lot of women listening that are the same that aren't rich.
I don't think in Southern California, maybe in a city that either you A, didn't have a car, or B, in a city that or a state that didn't allow you to pump your own gas. Sure, but I think most women nowadays know how to pump their own gas.
Oh, you know, no, most by far, without question. What I am saying that like there's broke women that haven't pumped their own gas. My grandma's never pumped gas. I guarantee you, my grandmother has never pumped gas once in her entire life.
Because she was married to a fella who would just handle that
right.
as a chore.
My grandpa drove. She's never driven. You know what I'm saying? And granted, yeah, she's from a generation past, but she can't be the only one.
Is she listening right now?
No, she's probably asleep.
Okay.
But I can call her up. She'll say, no, mijo, I never pump my own gas. There you go. It's
Thank
my grandma
you.
For you.
I loved it. I loved it. Chrissy Teigen, she's funny.
Aww.
She's great.
You make me sad, Allie.
Bean, you know where I'm going with this. First of all, she's a huge fan of the Bulldog. That was her dog, Putty, that had just passed away. And there's two reasons I'm doing this story. One, just the power of dogs and how amazing they are. But also because in her Instagram post saying goodbye to Putty, she said something that just made me go, all right, she'd be Bean's best friend. She said, today our baby Putty has gone up to pup heavens. John and I got Putty in our first year of dating when I convinced him that half birthday presents were a real thing. Like, and that's basically Bean. He could parlay that into half Christmas. They could celebrate all the time. But this is her post, which is just lovely. 10 years ago on May 30th, I found a dog that would be there for us through every up and down. New house, new city, new tour, new travel. He welcomed new pups and loved on new babies and new bellies. He was there for everything. Every time I needed a taste tester, someone to kiss, or needed to sob into his stinky rolls, he was there. It's true what they say. We are their entire lives, and it's the greatest shame that they can only bless us with a short spark of time in ours. I always knew I would lose a piece of me when he left us. I feel the hole now. I will love you forever, my boy. My heart aches. Thank you so much for everything. Everything. Putty.
I know. Very sad. Putty was 10.
That's pretty old for a bulldog, right?
It's what you hope for. You know, bulldogs do not have long lives, but if you can, anything over 10, I look at as a bonus time. My tater tot was over 12 when she
passed.
Oh, my.
Nice.
So you do the best you can. Sometimes you don't get so lucky, but that was a dog that was well-loved for sure.
For sure. How old are Linus and Maruka?
They are 10 this summer.
All right. Tattoo artist, Kat Von D.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Actor Freddie Prinze Jr. Actor
Why am I wasting my time on this radio show? I should be downstairs with him right now.
News anchor Lester Holt and actress Milana Weintraub, and that's what's happening.
Playing a lot of great music from the ladies today in honor of International Women's Day. That is Alice Merton and No Roots here on the world famous K-Rock. You guys, March 31st, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Sold out at the Microsoft Theater.
Boom!
Your level of excitement and interest in that evening, kids?
Extreme.
Yeah.
High.
I mean, Fluffy and Adam Devine and our friend Brad Williams making his triumphant return. Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, and music and video by DJ Mike Rum. It's going to be an amazing night. Thanks again to everybody who sold the thing out the first weekend it was on sale. We love that. We really appreciate it. Proceeds to some tremendous charities. We are going to give away some tickets right now, though, at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called A Guy Walks Into a Bar.
A guy walks into a bar.
Jokes.
All right, again, it doesn't have to be a guy. It could be a horse. It could be a rabbi and a priest. It could be whatever you want. 1-800-520-1067. Now, one will win tickets to the sold-out show. I'd like to start, if we could please, Chip, with Manny, in Montebello. He is on line 6, and he's going to get us going with a guy walked into a bar. Manny, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for holding on. Let's hear your joke.
Good morning, guys. Okay, morning. A blind man walks into a bar with his dog. He takes the dog by the tail and starts spinning it around his head like a lasso. Bartender runs up to him and says, whoa, man, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm just looking around.
Hello.
See, because you guys don't get it. All right, well told, Manny. Thank you very much. Let's try Pat, line 5. Pat is in Anaheim Hills, up next on K-Rock. Hey, Pat.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Priest, good luck. Let's hear your joke.
All right, here you go. A priest, a prostitute, and a rabbi walk into a bar. The bartender looks up and says, "What is this, a joke?"
Oh!
Thank you, Pat. Allie, you're being strangely quiet.
I didn't get it until a second ago.
Okay, all right, fine. Let's go to line 7, please, into Hollywood. We say hello to Juan. Hey, Juan, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Let's hear it.
All right, so the wolfman walked into the bar and says, "Bartender, let me get another bottle because he's all depressed." And the ghost man asks him, "What's wrong, man?" He goes, "Well, the missus is pregnant and we're having a litter." And the wolfman goes, "Damn, ghost man, how do you keep on banging chicks with no consequences?" And the ghost man goes, "Because I have a Halloween."
Anyone? Anyone?
Well,
are you tracking?
A wolfman and a wolf litter, man? Yes. But then who was the other person?
The ghost man.
A ghost man. I missed the ghost man.
Okay, ghost man. Okay.
Points for a delivery of unintelligibility.
All right. Thank you, Juan. We appreciate the effort, sir. Let's try line 4. Andrew Claremont up next on the Kevin DeMeade Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Let's hear what you got.
So a guy walks into a bar holding jumper cables. The bartender yells out, "Hey, you better not be starting anything in here."
Oh! A guy walks into a bar. I'm not going to lie. Enjoyed it very much. Line 3, Tina, Fountain Valley, up next on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hey, Tina.
Good morning.
Who walks into the bar in your joke?
Well, a guy walks into a bar.
Mm-hmm.
You think he would have ducked.
Strong. I'm okay with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Highlights Magazine. All right, how about line 2, Adam, Woodland Hills, playing for April Foolishness tickets. Adam, good morning, you're on.
How you doing? Well, this one's a real doozy after the joke you just had.
All right.
So, Donald Trump walks into a bar and goes, "Owie."
He says what?
Owie.
Out. Owie.
Oh, get off my phone. Seriously, get off my phone.
Wolfman walks into a bar and the ghost man says bar is Halloween. I want that guy back.
Hey, it's funny you should say that, Mike, because Rudy is on the line. Oh! San Juan Capistrano. I think it's a different Rudy. Line 1 up next on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hey, fake Rudy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys.
Let's hear your joke.
So a skeleton walks into a bar. He sits down, looks at the bartender, and says, "Barkeep, give me a beer and a mop."
Yeah.
He's going to go through them.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. All right. Fine. One more. North Hollywood. This is going to be Vartan, line 8. Hey, Vartan.
Hey, guys. So a guy with dyslexia walks into a bra.
Oh! Come on! That's pretty strong, by the way.
Don't look at me like you don't get it, Allie.
I was thinking is I thought dyslexia was reading it backwards.
But no.
It's just jumbling
no,
it's the
letters. Letters are jumbled.
Okay,
yes.
Listen, I wasn't fact-checking your joke, Vartan.
I'm going to say I thought Vartan was phenomenal. I think I would give him the tickets. If you guys disagree, if you have somebody else or if you'd like to do a drawing, what do you think?
I just like
the way he turned it on its side, you know? Like
what
you don't,
about
you never Wolfman
walks
coming.
Into a bar and then Wolfman says it's about the babies of Halloween?
What do you think, Allie? Drawing or give it?
Vartan is great.
Vartan!
You cool with that?
Yes.
I'm all about Vartan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vartan, North Hollywood. Congratulations, sir. Well told. You're going to be joining us at the sold-out Kevin DeMeade April Foolishness Microsoft Theater March 31st. How's that sound to you?
Awesome. That's great. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Congratulations. Have a great time. We'll see you there. This has been A Guy Walks Into a Bar.
A guy walks into a bar.
Jokes. 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 Jokes.
An ordinary dinner party, the sort of occasion we all enjoy. The men are exchanging witty stories. And look at the women. Aren't they pretty? Look at the way they laugh. They're delightful.
They are delightful, aren't they? Welcome to International Women's Day here on the Kevin DeMeade Show at K-Rock, playing all music from the ladies, powerful rock women on the show today. How about that Republica? Remember, Mike, Allie, you too, when that song was on every sporting event?
Oh, yeah.
They play that all the time, but I hadn't heard it in a long time. It sounds really, really good. I had a lot of people requesting that one this morning for International Women's Day. Speaking of that, here on the Kevin DeBean Show, Jim Rome talks sports, what's up with Florida, and a brand new internet roundup coming up next hour. We were having a discussion off air yesterday in the office when we knew we were going to be focusing on lady-centric music today. And here's the question. I know it's subjective, and I know it's impossible maybe to narrow it down to just one. But the conversation we were having is, what is the greatest song ever recorded by a female vocalist? A song that is sung by a woman that you would put at number one on that list.
Hmm.
And in the history of recorded music, there are many contenders. And you could make an argument for lots of different songs for lots of different reasons. But we thought it might be a fun exercise for us here on the show and also for our listeners to call in and make the case for the song that they think would be at the top of that list. So we are taking your calls and your texts at 1-800-520-1067. I guess you can create your own definition of what the greatest song is. Can it be just the best vocal? Can it be just the best song? Can it be the most impactful? Can it have the most powerful backstory? Whatever it is you think, whatever you put into it, you tell us why you think that's the song. So let's go around the room and see what we all came up with. Ally McKay, why don't you go first? Because it is International Women's Day. I think it's only fair.
Well, that is lovely of you, and I appreciate it. This song was originally released and written by Otis Redding. And then 2 years later, Aretha Franklin was like, why don't I show you how it's done? Otis, sit back for a while, because this is the anthem. Respect by Aretha Franklin.
It's a strong choice.
Right?
Yeah.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take F-C-C-T.
I mean, come on.
I mean.
It's great for so many reasons, by the way. It's part of it is that Aretha Franklin is arguably the greatest singer of all time. But part of it is that it's a brilliant song. Mm-hmm. And a third part of it is that it kind of is an anthem for women, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the message of the song is, hey, I deserve a little bit of respect and I'm not getting it from my man.
Sock it to me.
And I think that's one of the reasons why it has remained so popular for so many years. And let's never forget the unbelievable version she did of that in the Blues Brothers movie, too,
yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah. Unreal.
Which is incredible.
I mean, it should be mentioned, too, the production on that song is ahead of its time. It sounds so good even now.
It's pretty great. And I'm, as we talk about the greatest song by a female ever, I can't disagree. I would not be sad if there were an official list and Respect was at number one. But I'm going to offer one up that I think is similar in a lot of ways, in that is a powerful song with a powerful message by a woman that for decades has been a song that women use to find strength, that they rally behind and they say, I will survive. And it's a song from 1979. That's Gloria Gaynor there. And I Will Survive, her number one song from back in 1979. Now, don't hold it against me because it's a disco song, because I still think that's a message that really does break through.
Yeah,
you guys like that one?
It's a great song.
And by the way, hard to beat for karaoke, right? I mean, that's a fun song to sing.
Especially for the ladies.
Michael, you're up next.
I chose this song because it's incredibly, especially the delivery of the vocalist, is incredibly feminine yet wildly powerful. And it's a really kind of a laid-back song, but there's something almost sexual about it. And I know it's a bit subjective, but I picked this song because it's, out of all female sang songs, this one seems to just always give me goosebumps and put me in the mood for some sensual activity. You know what I'm saying, Allie?
No, I wasn't listening.
Okay. It's Marlena Shaw, California Soul.
It's a brand new kind of thinking in your mind, and you can't go wrong, because you're grooving all day long. California Soul.
Yeah, that's good.
The string section with the drums and everything, it just sounds so perfect.
So is that, if we called your wife right now, would she verify that that's your sexy time soundtrack?
No, it's usually Hammer Smash Face by Cannibal Corpse, but this is a close second, yeah.
Before we go to the calls at 1-800-520-1067, Chip, what do you think the greatest song ever by a female vocalist is in honor of this International Women's Day?
Okay, for me, so as a female musician, I wanted to go with someone with attitude, who's badass, Joan Jett, bad reputation.
Oh, strong.
Yeah, I mean, look, Joan Jett is everything that's great about women singing, right? That's a great choice. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take your calls next. You know the category right now. You can back it up however you want, whatever your parameters are. What's the greatest song ever by a female vocalist? And we'll talk to you and find out what you think is number one right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Courtney Love is one of the greatest female rockers of all time. We'll play a song from her band Hole coming up next here on K-Rock. First, though, in honor of International Women's Day, we're talking about the greatest single song by a female singer ever. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. From Whittier, Ed wants to weigh in with his selection. Good morning, Ed. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, there you go. What's going on? What are you thinking here, dude?
I was thinking you guys should do the Dolores song from the Cranberries, The Zombie.
Oh, just played that a few minutes ago.
Oh, my goodness. I missed it. That's the best one. I love that song.
Okay. It said here you had a different one, but thank you for calling.
I'm not Ed, you guys.
Oh. Who are you?
What's your name?
This is WWE. Unknown Superstar Blowout Man telling you guys happy Women's Day and enjoy your day. It's what? Blowout time.
What's happening right now?
Blowout Man?
I think Beer Mug is doing some good phone screening, first of all. And I think, second of all, here's Hole on K-Rock. I love it so much, you guys. Mm-hmm. Love that band. Love that song. International Women's Day here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock, playing all music from the ladies. We're talking right now about the greatest song ever recorded by a woman. We're going right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Any love for Beyonce Single Ladies, you guys? Would that be in the conversation at all or no?
Not mine, but right. I'm sure to some. Yeah.
I could see it fitting into a solid top 10 or 15, but
all right.
Number one, come on.
How about Dancing Queen by ABBA?
No. That's silly.
No. All right.
What about Lou Wycat Thomas, who said, uh-huh, Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan?
That's good.
Ain't Nobody.
Nobody.
Good song. Let's go to Jocelyn, you guys. I think we can all agree this one's on the list. Covina, line two, up next on the Kevin Amito. Jocelyn, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What do you have to contribute?
Hi. Hello?
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. So the song that I chose is I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston's rendition.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear some of that.
And I will always love you.
I mean, come on. I mean, look, there are a lot, like we said when we set this up, there's lots of criteria that you can use to choose, but just in terms of pure vocal performance, Jocelyn,
right.
I mean, who sings any song better than Whitney sang that song, right?
Nobody. Oh, she's so good.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Thank you for the call. We really appreciate
That's
it so
a good
much.
Call.
Let's go to Daniel San Clemente, line six, up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Daniel, what do you want to think?
Hey, guys. Well, fortunately, I'm wearing my suit of armor, so I might get some pushback on this, but I'm prepared for it. But,
all right.
Madonna is Like a Virgin.
Madonna Like a Virgin. Check it out. I mean, it was a great song and a big hit. She does sing in that kind of annoying little girl voice.
Right.
What is it you love about it that makes you want to put it at the top of your list?
Well, you got to look at the subconscious part of it, which is not just on the sexual end of it necessarily, but look at it as like a virgin for stepping out as a woman, becoming a woman for the first time, standing up to all this stuff that's in the world. So if you look at it that way, it's a little bit different, maybe.
Allie, is Daniel making any sense?
He is to himself, sure. I would say if I'm going Madonna, I'm probably going with an Express Yourself. Maybe.
Like a prayer.
Like a prayer, like
it's
sure.
Not even the best Madonna song, Daniel.
Listen, I think what Daniel's thinking is the first time he did it.
Yeah.
Right, Daniel? You with me?
Daniel likes virgins. That's what I'm hearing. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it very much. By the way, very disappointed so far. No one has even thought of.
It's Friday.
No love for Rebecca Black, and
come
I'd also like
Bean.
To point out
strong
the
contender.
The Kevin and Bean listers are letting me down. Not one vote for Wing.
Send her on my helicopter.
That was my second choice.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, here's a good suggestion, I think, you guys. Let's try Paramount's Eddie. He is on line one up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie, thank you for calling. The greatest song ever recorded by a female vocalist. What is it?
Hey, guys. When I think of great rock songs, I always think about Barracuda by Heart.
Let's hear it. Now, why? I mean, obviously, Ann Wilson's one of the great rock vocalists of all time. What is it about that song that puts it number one for you?
It's one of the first songs I learned to play on the guitar, and it's just so catchy to listen to.
Yeah, it's a great hook, that's for sure.
Yeah,
all right, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Hey, party people from the 626, I know it may have been overplayed at the height of its popularity, but what about Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On? Has to be one of the best songs. Her vocals are so powerful. But she killed all those people on that ship, though, right? You got to hold that against her, I think, right? All right, let's go to Nick in Baldwin Park, line 7. Up next on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about the greatest song ever recorded by a female vocalist. What say you, Nick?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
My favorite, in my opinion, is Maps by Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Maps by Yeah Yeah Yeahs is a fine song. Is it in the top 100 of the greatest songs ever recorded by a woman, though? Why do you think that?
I mean, I used to listen to it a lot in high school. It was like, it helped me out through like heartbreaks, and it was just so emotional. And the way Karen O sings it, it's just amazing. It gives me the chills listening to it.
All right, let's give you the chills a little bit here then. Real good, you guys. Mm-hmm.
It's a really artistic delivery. I mean, it could have so easily been a much simpler song, and her delivery and that choice, I think, is really awesome.
Yeah, that's real good. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to, so many calls on this, so many great suggestions. We got another Dan. This one's in Pico Rivera. He is up on line 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, Dan, if I'm hearing correctly, you have an all-time rock classic to nominate for the best. What do you got?
Oh, yeah, I went old school for this one, guys, and I went for Janis Joplin, Peace of My Heart.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Let's hear some. Inarguable.
What a vocal, what a song. That was a cover version, too. You guys probably knew that. It was a cover version of Irma Franklin's original Peace of My Heart, but that is a great song from the great Janis Joplin. All right, we got time for just a couple more. 1-800-520-1067. How about Long Beach? Bill, line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling. What do you have for us?
Well, when I first heard you guys on the radio talking about this, my first instinct was to go with Annie Lennox. You know, I liked her voice.
Yes.
But then I thought, one of my top 10 all-time songs ever is Fleetwood Mac with Stevie Nicks singing Landslide.
Ooh, let's give me some Landslide.
What if I could?
Do you want me to sing it?
Yes,
would you please, Ali?
I took my love, climbed a mountain, I turned around, and I saw my reflection.
I think you need to play the original.
I'm nailing it.
Blown away by her Stevie Nicks. It's awesome.
That was fantastic. It was so accurate. And I think you can see why we all love Stevie Nicks. All right. Excellent choice, Bill. Appreciate that. By the way, when you're talking about Fleetwood Mac songs, Dreams, I might even vote for Dreams over Landslide as one of the greatest women's songs of all time.
Oh, man. Christina's got a great song, and I know we don't have it, but everything on
that's
the album.
That's a great call.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to it. That'll be our final one because we're out of time. Christina, line 4, Roland Heights. You get the last word. What's your vote?
Actually, Mary J. Blige, Real Love.
Come on.
That's a great call.
I'm not going to be happy unless Allie sings some of that one for us, too, though.
I got that one.
Oh, you got it? Let's hear it. Yeah.
Someone to make my heart see real love. Searching for a real love.
Thank you, Christina. Happy International Women's Day. Matt from Your Belinda, we saw your text at 1-800-520-1067, and we're going to be playing some Breeders for you next year on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ as we continue to celebrate International Women's Day with the music. Jim Rome coming up right at the top of the hour. First, though, Allie McKay on this Thursday morning. What's happening?
Mike doesn't know this about me, but I am a firm believer that Amazon Echo, the Alexa, a Roomba, mm-hmm. your own computer.
Sure.
People are watching and listening
okay.
all the time. Cover those bad boys up. No need to have any of that stuff in your home. It's going to turn on you.
Yeah, the X-Files last week freaked her out because it was all about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's not good. But I will say this. When I read this article about Amazon gadgets laughing out of nowhere, I was terrified. Terrified for these people. Bean, have you seen these stories?
Oh, sure. Sure I have. I mean, just all of a sudden, you're just having a quiet evening at home and somebody, some voice comes out of nowhere and just starts shrieking at you.
Yes.
Ha, 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 ha.
Very, very scary laughter. One woman said, mine whistled upstairs in my bedroom. No one's home except for me and my dogs. Another guy.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. But people are saying, all of a sudden, I just heard laughter in the other room. I'm going to get murdered tonight. This one freaked me out. And it's ridiculous. This creepy thing happened last night. We got home and totally unprompted, our Amazon Echo Alexa started talking. And then I realized it was listing off local cemeteries and funeral homes.
What?
I'd rather it laughed at me. Another woman said, dead silence in the house. Alexa, unprompted, what's that massive fireball streaking across the sky?
Alexa is starting conversations what? With people.
About the apocalypse, by the way.
Is happening.
By the way, I can't think of anything more terrifying than your Alexa naming funeral homes and cemeteries out of the blue. Like, that seems vaguely threatening.
It is absolutely insane. And then asking her to turn off the lights, and she won't, and then just unprompted out of nowhere turns them off, and laughter.
This is a HAL 9000 situation. Isn't it?
I hate it so much.
My Alexa seems to always laugh when I remove my pants. I don't know if there's any correlation.
That's your wife, Mike. That's not your Alexa.
Okay.
I was just reading through these going, what are you people doing?
So
what is it in a box, send it away.
What is Amazon saying? What do they think is the problem for this? I mean, why is this happening? Because Alexas have been around for a couple of years. This is new, this problem.
I think they're constantly trying to work on the technology of voice recognition because I know, for instance, when I'm listening to the radio in my house and someone on the radio starts talking about Alexa, it perks up. And that – so I think that maybe in an attempt to make Alexa really good at hearing when she's being beckoned to, they've made it maybe too strong and she's getting – you know, she's getting
responding
like,
to weird
twerked
things.
Off by these weird things. Yeah.
I just hope we don't have to kill her.
Right. Eventually, that's what we're going to come to. Yeah. We're just going to have to murder all the machines. Yeah,
it's
going to
kill us first.
I've mentioned in the past that I've never gotten any of these voice-activated technologies. Maybe if I used it, I would realize how invaluable they are, but I just don't see the advantage of it. But do you choose the voice that Alexa uses? Can you make it a woman, make it a man, pick an accent like you can with a GPS or no?
I don't know if you can or not. I've never looked into that. Mine is just a nice, pleasant female voice.
Mm-hmm.
But the real problem I have with Alexa is that my daughter has learned how to use it. And she'll order stuff off Amazon.
Like what kind of stuff?
She wanted to order some cupcakes and eventually just a cupcake maker got ordered. It got kind of confusing. I had to go to my Amazon account and cancel the order and everything. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But she thinks it's like fantasy land. She's like, Alexa, I want cupcakes.
Right.
You know, I want to hear Barney.
Makes sense to me.
Alexa, Pornhub. Alexa, Pornhub. You're just for our listeners that have the Alexa on.
The worst. They got so mad last time we did that. I appreciate the callback.
Alexa, Lemon Party.
No.
No.
No. No. No. No. No. No. Very much no.
No, Alexa. No.
Bad Alexa. Sit, Alexa.
This is just for you guys. Dad sneakers are the new mom jeans. This is according to Teen Vogue. All the major fall fashion runways had these dad sneakers as one of the top trends. And like mom jeans, dad sneakers are heavy on practicality and low on actual style. I love this so much. But the thing is, alongside the comfort and sturdiness they provide, dad sneakers also have plenty of retro fashion appeal in neons and rainbows, high-tech closures, classic laces. You could jazz up your dad sneakers. But what do you think?
I've noticed it. I mean, I've seen like the Hadid sisters or other female tastemakers wearing like Jerry Seinfeld shoes. You know, like these big, bulky cross trainers that look like they're just totally ill-fitting. And I don't know. I have a weird, special, sentimental place in my heart for the 90s anytime mm-hmm. 90s fashion comes about. But then it also makes me feel incredibly old. Because I was like, no, you can't do that. That's really what I wore in high school. You can't
adopt
that.
It's too early to bring it back, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Bean, what about you? You going to wear some dad sneakers?
Look, I'm the least fashionable guy in the world, so probably. Seems likely.
Probably wearing them right now.
I disagree. I think Bean has a weird sense, like his own sense of style.
He does.
I really do think he has like a kind of a cool hipster devil may care thing.
Yeah, he can really snazz it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those cargo shorts, man.
I'm saying. All right, some birthdays for you. Tattoo artist Kat Von D. Actor. What?
What?
I just added a different vowel for Kat Von D. Actor Freddie Prinze Jr., James Vanderbeek, news anchor Lester Holt, and actress Milana Weintraub. And that's what's happening.
I love it so much. Readers on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. This time every week, we check in with our good friend Jim Rome. You can hear the broadcast 9 till noon Pacific time at jimrome.com. You can also watch him on the CBS Sports Network. You can also enjoy him on Sirius XM. Jim, you must be hearing from all corners of the country recently since you've been up on the satellite, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of that. Hey, by the way, have you been dropping Rome sound bites when I'm not in the house officially?
Uh-oh. Have we just been busted?
It's gotten back to me. Like, why do I even need to show up on Thursday when you play me every day when I'm not there?
Someone call someone.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a great
clean up
point,
on aisle
Jim.
Three. Someone call someone.
Yes, it's like having you here all the time. We enjoy it very
good
much.
Times. Good
hey,
times.
Your boy Kevin is on vacation, but please say hello to the great Michael D. Catherwood, who's sitting in with us this morning.
Hello, sir.
Psycho Mike, what's up?
What's happening, man?
What's up, bud? How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. Nice to be talking to you.
I'm glad you're on, Jim, and I'll tell you why, because earlier today we had a whole conversation with Mike, because he is fascinated, as we are, with this Canelo Alvarez story. The short version is that he claims he wasn't using drugs to make him a better boxer. He just ate some meat in Mexico, right? That's what he's claiming. And how viable is that excuse to you?
Someone call someone. Pretty convenient, right? Right before the guy's biggest fight ever, he comes down with a case of tainted beef. Hey, no way, a boxer on PEDs? Hey, look, maybe they would argue, guys, that there are trace amounts of the butte. So that would suggest that maybe it came from contaminated meat. Either that or he took the drugs earlier and enough time went by that when they finally tested him, there wasn't much left. I don't know, but I know this. You're a pro athlete. You're responsible for everything that goes into your body. If you know there are countless cases of tainted beef in Mexico and China, do not slam the beef there. At best, it's stupid. At worst, the guy's cheating and roiding in a combat sport. And most of all, even if he's not, if he wins, people will think that he did cheat. So even if he does win, he's still going to lose in the eyes of many.
So the fight has not been canceled, right? He has not been disqualified as a result of the test.
It's quote in jeopardy, but when we're talking about a fight like that, Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, biggest fight in the game, all that money on the table, believe me, they will fight. They will test him, ask him a lot of questions. He's probably got to produce some paperwork to show that he bought the tainted meat or slammed the tainted meat on this day. But that fight's going to happen. There's way too much money on the table for it not to happen.
Slam the Tainted Meat is the name of my college memoirs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
Slam the contaminated meat. Someone call someone. Allie found contaminated meat.
Should we be grateful that we live in a country where we don't accidentally ingest this in every hamburger we eat, Jim? That sounds pretty sketchy down in Mexico, I think.
It sounds pretty sketchy to me anywhere. You know, this whole thing about athletes, like, I've never knowingly taken any drugs. Yeah, if you don't know, it's your business to know. These guys are like, body is temple. They know exactly what they're putting into their body. So I'm supposed to believe that right before a fight, a guy just ran into some contaminated meat. allegedly. I mean, maybe, but you can see where I might be a little bit skeptical.
And absolutely. Also, I mean, my skepticism came out of the fact that clenbuterol is, like, right at the top of the list of a beneficial drug for a combat athlete, you know, especially someone trying to make weight. It would be easier to explain away if it was something that you just couldn't understand why a boxer would be taking it.
Yeah.
I find it hard
to
believe.
It's too convenient.
Yeah,
sounds
I find it hard to believe.
It's too convenient, and it's too much of a quinky-dink when it happened. And for those who don't know, what it does is it burns fat, it builds muscle, it enhances performance. Guys would not use it, eat contaminated meat if it didn't work.
All right, next topic.
Right.
Next topic, and this is an unusual one because we're talking about Kevin Love of the Cleveland Cavaliers, great player. He wrote a very real testimonial to psychiatry and mental health as an athlete. And I think it surprised a lot of people to see a guy speaking so openly about it. And he has been well, this piece that he wrote has been very well received, I think. Right, Jim?
Yeah, I think it's great. It's really courageous. For those who don't know, he wrote about having a panic attack. He suffered a panic attack in a game recently and had to leave the game. And the reason why it's so significant is this whole notion of mental health, it's taboo for professional athletes. I mean, men in general, right? We can't talk about things like that, or we're seen as weak or we're soft. When in reality, to me, if you're a public figure and you're talking about that, it's the opposite. The guy's not looking to make an excuse. I mean, mental health is not a matter of, hey, man up, ice up, be mentally tough, show some will. It's a real issue beyond your control. And the reason he talked about it was another player, DeMar DeRozan, talked about it first during the break. So all of a sudden now we're having a conversation that everybody's always been afraid to have because of the stigmatization. So the stigma attached. So I think it's a good thing. I really do.
Yeah, and it's a beautifully written piece, and he says twice in the article, and I think this is worth repeating again on the radio in Kevin Love's words, everyone is going through something that we can't see. And I love that.
You know, especially guys like that, because you think, hey, they're athletes and they're bulletproof and they're different. What the guy's saying in effect is, yeah, I might play the game and I might make a lot of money, but I'm really no different than you, and you don't see what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a lot of things, but these guys are terrified of saying anything because the coach or the team or even the fans will say, come on, man up. What's your problem? You're playing a game. You're playing a kid's game for all that money. It's a real, real issue, and I think the more people talk about it openly, the more that we'll hear this. I mean, teams do everything they can to help a player with their physical health, to give them any edge they can. Why wouldn't you help them with their mental health as well?
Us, the civilians, we look at this as like really something very courageous and brave, and I think we can all relate. And I really, my appreciation for Kevin Love went up greatly. But behind the scenes, in the locker room, is this still looked at something that's going to be a liability?
Yeah, no, I think that's the issue. And from day one, if you're an athlete, they teach you a couple of things. Number one, never ever quit. Number two, never show any weakness. Never let anybody know that you're having any issues whatsoever, because they'll kill you. They'll come for your heart. So I think there is that stigma attached. And yeah, maybe in the locker room, some guys won't understand it, but that's the whole point. They don't understand it. And that's why you have to have an open conversation about it.
This is our weekly visit with our friend Jim Rome here on the Kevin DeBean Show, jimrome.com. Final story. This is a name you can't get away from, even if you're a marginal football fan. Shaquem Griffin is all anyone's talking about as an NFL draft prospect. How come, Jim?
All right, so this guy, he was born with amniotic band syndrome. So when he was 4 years old, he had so much pain in his hand, he literally tried to cut off his own fingers. So he has his left hand amputated. So he's playing with a prosthetic hand. Guy's amazing. So he goes to the NFL scouting combine. He puts up 225 pounds 20 times on the bench. And then a day later, he ran the fastest 40 ever for a linebacker. And he did all of this with one hand. And to give you an idea, he's got a twin brother who's already in the NFL who put 225 pounds up three fewer times. There were 10 offensive linemen that couldn't even do it. And the guy wasn't even initially invited to the combine. So he's a super freaky athlete, an amazing leader, a great, great story, and he's doing all of this with a prosthetic hand.
That's amazing. Now, I'm not trying to throw any kind of shade on this guy at all, because it's a remarkable achievement even at this point in his career, but there's no advantage that you can get as a player for having prosthetics, right?
No. Okay. I can't see any advantage to a guy having one hand when everybody else has two hands. But, I mean, the guy goes to the combine and thinks he's going to max out, like, at six reps on the bench. His personal best was 11, and then he gets 20. So this is a guy that you want on your team. He's going to get drafted, and he helped himself. He made himself some money and got a lot of people to look at him that day. That was a really, really good day for him.
That is an amazing story. All right, I love it. You should definitely check out the Kevin Love article and look up on the Shaquem Griffin story, because it really is amazing. The Jim Rome Podcast is new episodes every Tuesday, by the way, on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. The Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com, CBS Sports Network on your TV, and, of course, on Sirius XM as well. Allie, you want to say goodbye to your boyfriend?
Bye, Jim.
Bye, Allie. Have the best day ever.
You too.
Thank you, Jim. We'll do it again
See
next
you guys.
Week.
Bye. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
Everyone.
I am. I think it's been too long since Florence and the Machine put out a record, you guys. I think they need to get on that. Hey, International Women's Day, playing all music from the lady artists. Very much enjoying it today. Thank you for all your calls and requests and your texts and your social media shout-outs and all that. We are going to continue to give away tickets to see Dudes, though. Blah. Imagine Dragons at the Forum in July, and you're eligible for the grand prize drawing to see them again in Sydney, Australia. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, destination number 3. Your chance to qualify for that coming up in about a half an hour or so right here on K-Rock. First, though, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Mr. Catherwood, we've all put our theories forth on why we think Florida, America's penis, has so many crazy stories that we can do a feature like this. Do you have a theory? Why do you think Florida gets in so much trouble?
I have a couple.
Mm. All right.
I think that other states have restrictions on the type of exposure that police reports get. And I think Florida's open season. So we just hear about more.
So they end up in the paper more.
Right.
Makes sense.
There's that. And then I also think that Florida's a great place for people who have crimes committed in other states to flee to because there's no extradition to other states.
Oh, so that I think makes so much sense.
Like Alaska and Florida are like these bastions for deadbeats.
That makes so much sense.
Put some serious thought into
Far
this.
Too much. Far
well,
too much.
We always ask, and we never have any reasons, but that's two pretty good
Amazing.
Reasons. All right, well, we got a good batch for you, and I want to start with this story, Allie, that may be very difficult for you to hear because you yesterday went out and got yourself a new phone, right?
I did.
Did you do the thing where they transfer over all of your old information onto your new phone?
Of course.
Uh-huh. And were you worried about any of your sexy time videos somehow ending up in the possession of the person who did that transfer for
you? Well, no, because I kept asking her, do you want to see this? And she's like, no. And I'm like, no, where are you going? She's like, I'm going on my break. And I'm like, no, it's real quick. He was bad. Yeah.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because a young lady named Keely Hightower, who, and this really is not an important part of the story, but just so you know, is so hot, went to T-Mobile to get a new phone, and she thought the employee was taking too long with the phone.
Oh.
So she looked through her apps after she left just in case. Everything seemed normal until she checked her email, and instead of opening to her inbox, it directed to her trash folder where she saw an unfamiliar email that was sent from her account with an attachment.
Oh.
And sure enough, it was a sex video that she had on her phone. So the employee, because she was hot, scrolled through her phone and said, ooh, I'd like to have a copy of this my own self, and sent it to himself and put it in the trash. But she discovered it. And now, of course, she is suing him. Now, obviously, I don't know what the charge is. Is it invasion of privacy or some sort of computer?
Yeah.
Offense? I don't know what it is. But I'm so glad it's going public with this and trying to bring this guy down, because obviously that's a terrible thing to do.
That might be sexual assault. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you really think about it, that's really bad.
I mean, it's everybody's
almost like a revenge porn situation.
Right. It's everybody's. Look, this woman has every right in the world to keep her own sex video on her phone and have it be private. You know what I mean? She's the victim here. Mm-hmm. And I'll be curious to see what ends up happening to this T-Mobile employee, but I'm glad he got caught. But I thought about you, and I know how concerned you are with privacy, Allie, and I wondered if there was some nervousness going in there and switching phones yesterday.
Nope. All mine are on VHS.
Here's a story out of Tampa that's unusual. There's a chain there called Hamburger Mary's. They have a number of locations throughout Florida, and they have drag queens there that are performers and waitresses at the restaurant.
We have one in WeHo. They do drag queen bingo.
There's a Hamburger Mary's in WeHo. I did not know that. Well, here's a lady that goes into the restaurant for some lunch. Her name is Neldon Molina, and she says that one of the drag queens that works there at Hamburger Mary came over, grabbed her neck, and pushed it into her chest, all right? Pushed it into the drag queen's chest, mm-hmm. and did serious damage to her neck.
Oh.
and now has a medical issue as a result of it. Has pain, has headaches, and is suing. She said she had never visited the club before. She was sitting at a table looking away from the stage, and then the employee just came and just grabbed her by the neck and did serious damage to her. Which I think is, I mean, if she can prove that that's what happened, I think that that's a legitimate lawsuit, I think, right? Yeah. She claims she has suffered irreversible spinal damage and lost range of motion in her spine and strength in her right arm.
Oof.
That must have been a serious takedown by this drag queen working at Hamburger Mary's.
Damn.
Wouldn't have expected that. Here's a Florida man accused of setting his neighbor's car on fire last week because he suspected the neighbor of stealing his lawnmower. 38-year-old Brandon Rivera was so frustrated with his neighbor that he set his 1984 Chevrolet Corvette on fire. I love the thought process of, you know what, the guy will not return my goddamn lawnmower. What am I going to do about it? I got it. I'm going to go try to pour gasoline into the rolled-down window of the car, but then that didn't work, so he opened up the door and dumped the entire gallon of gasoline onto the driver's seat, dropped a match, and walked off.
I think 1984 was the first year that they went to the different body type. Mm-hmm. Those are great little Corvettes back then.
I was wondering if, because it was a Corvette, if it was a nice, you know, like a nice cool car, not just a beater. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So maybe he knew that that was going to hurt. You know, maybe he knew that that was something the neighbor was, that was going to get the neighbor's attention.
Yeah.
That's right? A statement.
It sure is.
Would it ever occur to you, though, to set your neighbor's car on fire because he won't give back your lawnmower? It's very Florida, you guys.
That's very Florida.
Speaking of fire, here's a Florida man. His name is Matt Seeger, and he was arrested for arson. He burned down two churches in the Tampa area. Oh. What was the reason he gave the police why he set the fires? He did it for God. He set the fires mm-hmm. for God, he said. God spoke to him and told him to burn down churches.
Is he a Viking? It's a-
It does sound very Viking. Look, I get the confusion. If you're in a situation where God speaks to you, you're kind of brought up to not challenge him. But I think a hands up with, are you sure about this? Because it just doesn't, it's not tracking with me. Like, these churches are kind of there for you. Like, why am I being asked to burn them down? But he decided to not question it and just to go for it. And I somehow think that defense is not, unless he can prove that he heard it from God, I don't think that defense is going to go very far with it. So don't use that, I guess.
Okay.
And this has been What's Up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Say thanks to Corey, everybody. Am I on? Hey, guys. Corey from Placentia came up with that one. How about, let's hear it for Corey, Corey. For suggesting that, huh? Stupid Girl by Garbage here on International Women's Day, playing songs from female artists all morning long here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave, King of Mexico, how are you, son?
What up, man?
Ready for a little Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah, let's do it.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
We got a real good batch, especially if you're a fan of dash cam videos. If you want to see a little road rage, you want to see some instant karma, I think you'll enjoy that very much. A lot of accidents, a lot of video of people running into things, Dave, in this roundup.
Oh, that road rage karma is so great, because doesn't that piss everyone off when people are trying to, like, just get away and drive on the shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he passes and it's a cop and the cop pulls him over, you're just like, yes!
Dave felt really, really good about that.
I did.
We have some clips we're going to get some audio from, and one of the ones that I really wanted to play, and Allie, this is just for you, because I know Omar kind of played a cruel trick on you yesterday, so let's not do that again. But you're very excited about this Ewan McGregor, Christopher Robin movie that's coming out, right?
I am beyond excited. It looks amazing. Just hearing the voice of Winnie the Pooh after so long, and Christopher Robin seeing his friend after so many decades, I welled up just even talking about it yesterday. Before you ruined my childhood, you burnt my soul to the ground, and you changed my life forever.
Well, let's play the real clip, not Omar doctored clip, the real clip from the Christopher Robin movie that's coming soon that got Allie so excited.
Please.
What to do, what to do, what to do. What to do indeed. Pooh? Christopher Robin!
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there. It's like we played the old clip by accident. I'm so sorry,
Can
Allie.
I just say, first of all, we all tweeted the long clip, and then we put a smaller one on Instagram. You know who laughed harder at that than anyone?
Who?
My freaking father.
Not really.
Hey, all of you.
Newton's a great American. Yeah. Great American.
So you can see that that trailer if you want. The Oscars were this past weekend with our friend Jimmy Kimmel hosting. There's so much great stuff in the roundup this week that Jimmy did at the Oscars, including Guillermo interviewing the stars on the red carpet. But there was something that was cut from the broadcast, and I'm with you, Dave. How do you have an awesome song from The Lonely Island and not put it on the Academy Awards?
Listen, like they said, maybe it was a little too expensive for what they were thinking because it had everybody. But it's the Oscars. Wouldn't people do this for free?
Yes. So I would think so. Now, the concept behind this Lonely Island song is they were paying tribute to all the movies that weren't nominated, all the stars that weren't nominated, like, you know, Thor, for instance. They would have a song in there sung by Thor. So in this clip, you're going to hear from It from Pennywise, and you're going to hear from Tiffany Haddish. And they're asking, hey, where's our Oscar nomination?
Why not me? In all the money in the world, they kidnapped one kid. And they got a nomination. I killed hundreds. I guess that's what you get when you're not classically handsome. Oscar's so white, but I guess not for me. I need to raise my quote so I can finally fix my teeth. Horror movies always get the shaft.
Hey, let me do one.
I peed.
See, it's Pennywise and Tiffany Haddish doing their Why Not Me Oscar songs. It's so good. I wish they would have let them do that on the show.
The best part of the Oscars.
Probably,
yes. Yes. Joel McHale, you guys, is back on Netflix. He is doing a show that is exactly like The Soup. And that's why I'm psyched and I love it. I look forward to it every weekend. By the way, where the hell, you're our producer, Dave. Where the hell is Joel McHale? Why is he not on our show talking about it right now?
Being too big time for us. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Nah,
he has some great guests stopping by, including the lovely Kristen Bell, and she went deep on a subject that most of us, me especially, know nothing about, and that is pinworms. You guys know what pinworms are?
Nope.
No.
Well, Kristen Bell and her daughter both got them, and here she is talking to Joel about it.
I'm not here to talk about pinworms, but I will. 50% of people over 15 don't experience symptoms, which is the itch.
Right.
And your kids get them because they put their hands in their mouth and they lay eggs. And I noticed at our preschool, all the carpets were gone. And I was like, this is an interesting development. Where are the carpets? And they were like, oh, we're having them cleaned. And I was like, okay, why? And they said, oh, we had a pinworm case. And then I, of course, like immediately Googled it. And it's like so, so contagious. And noticed that, of course, my three-year-old was like all for like a week. And then you have to monitor it, and you have to look in their poop, and when you wipe their butt, sure enough, I wiped, saw a little white worm. I know, she's really gross. My daughter, not the worm. The worm was gross, too. And then I, later that day, was like...
scratching her butt. Kristen Bell got pinworms, too, you guys. She's America's sweetheart. Don't give her worms in her poop.
Are pinworms the ones that you have to look for them at night, too? Like you put a flashlight near, like, your kid's butt, and you'll see a little worm sticking out?
What? What?
I don't know the answer to that. It
no,
seems
I think
unlikely.
Little worms.
Yeah. Have you run into this with your daughter, Mike?
I haven't. Have him.
God, right?
Believe me, my daughter is gross, just like all other kids. But yeah. Luckily,
right.
No pinworms.
No pinworms. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, great, great breakfast conversation. Thank you, Kristen Bell. We appreciate that. Jimmy did a new round of mean tweets with musicians, and as always, it's awesome.
Watching Alice Cooper, and all I can think of is that he looks like a ball sack with face paint on.
Sure. The Lumineers are the musical equivalent to a triple venti half sweet iced caramel macchiato. F*** them and this.
Like, honestly, saying Blink-182 is your favorite band is like saying I'm okay living with herpes.
Use antifreeze shampoo on my pubes and now my penis looks like Steve Aoki.
Fall Out Boy is the Comic Sans MS of music. They're both entirely overused.
If you're a guy and you're listening to Depeche Mode, reach into your vagina and pull your balls back down.
I left more talent in my toilet this morning than Green Day has ever had. Green Day sucks. I'm glad that you're thinking about us while you're taking. We're doing something right.
We'll think about you while we're sucking.
Well, there you go. That's a new round of Jimmy Kimmel's Mean Tweets Musicians Edition. You can find all these videos right now at KevinAndBean.com or KRAT.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Imagine Dragons in Sydney, Australia. Yeah, we're hooking you up. Round trip airfare and hotel. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2018 Destination Number 3. And how about this for a qualifying prize? You get to see the Imagine Dragons band at the Forum in July. All of that at 9 a.m., noon, 3 and 6 p.m. every day this week on K-Rock. That means your next chance to win is coming up in about 5 minutes. First, though, Allie, what's happening here on this Thursday morning?
Well, as you've probably noticed, we are playing kick-ass music today in honor of Women's Day, and it is all about playing the ladies. And we played some Cranberries earlier. I think we did Zombie. And the late Cranberries lead singer, Dolores O'Riordan, apparently completed all the vocals for the new album with the band before she passed away. And the website says that the album will be released in early 2019, and a deluxe edition of the Cranberries' debut album, Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We?, to celebrate its 25th anniversary, will be coming out later this year as well. So we've got Cranberries goodness coming our way, which I love to hear. Mm-hmm. Something I'm completely jealous of, and I want to be on the board of, and I can't. Because really, I don't have as many hits as these guys. The Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. has established a hip-hop culture council. Its goal is to spread the word about the art form and get the public involved in special events. Q-Tip is the artistic director of the council, and founding members include Questlove, Fab Five Freddy, and Grandmaster Caz. Why am I not on this council?
I think you know the answer.
Yeah, I mean,
you have no qualifications whatsoever to be on the council.
But I would say
your zero albums in hip hop.
Okay.
Yeah, that would probably be it.
But I do it for the culture.
That's true.
I do.
But it's like asking me why I'm not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't know. Never played baseball.
I feel like I could make it to the Hip Hop Culture Council before you could make it even into baseball pants. What? I don't know. You guys hear about this fight between Tommy Lee and his 21-year-old son, Brandon?
I did.
I don't like this at all.
It's not good. Apparently, Tommy Lee had tweeted something about Pamela Anderson, which is his ex-wife, we all know. And that's Brandon's mother. He had tweeted something about criticizing her about an interview that she did with Piers Morgan, where I guess she brought up how he was physical with her and abused her during their relationship. And he tweeted, "You think she'd find something new to discuss instead of rehashing old S. But I guess she has nothing going on and needs attention. Signed, the abuser, who she texts every day and asks for me back."
Oh!
Yeah.
Burn!
Yeah. So his son Brandon went into the bedroom, because I guess they all live in the same house, went into the bedroom and said, "Dad, delete that. That's BS. Don't tweet stuff like that." It became an altercation, and Brandon knocked his dad out.
Oh.
Out.
Oh, man.
Cold. So, not a good situation. Police came. There was a 911 call from his fiance, and it's just a bad situation altogether. But apparently, as of this, he was still going after his son. Like, he wants him charged for this.
I mean, it's assault, even if you're a family member.
It definitely is,
but it's still messy.
God,
it's
your kid.
You have the conversation of, do you turn in your kids for murder?
Right.
Let alone, do you charge your kid with assault? I mean, come on, it's your kid.
Yeah. That's got to be a real bad situation.
I don't want to do this phone topic because I think it would be unpleasant, but I wonder how many of our listeners have gotten in a fist fight with a parent. Because it seems like that, I hope that would be a very low number.
I would hope, yeah.
Because I can't imagine any circumstances under which I would hit my dad in the face. I just can't. There's nothing that could happen.
My brother punched me, like a real good punch.
Siblings, I can see. I get siblings. But parents?
But I'm gonna say it. I was a rotten 15-year-old. That was my year of just being from hell. Yeah. And my brother socked me. And my mom said, "Well, it's about damn time." Yeah, yeah. I deserved it. I'm not gonna lie. I was horrible.
We all agree with your mother here on the Kevin and Bean stuff.
Just what?
What? Nothing. I unfortunately, Bean, I think that would be one of those phone topics that you hate to admit it, but the phones would light up.
Yeah,
I don't think a lot of people have gotten into a fight with a parent.
I don't totally want to talk to them. I don't.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Mike, could you ever imagine it in your life?
Oh, no. No. No.
Your dad would lay you out, first of all.
My dad's very short and fat and old. It wouldn't even be. I would probably like 15 when I could kick my dad's ass.
I feel like he's a Vietnam vet. He'd get it from somewhere.
My dad's a far superior human being than me in every way.
Yeah.
But I could whoop my dad's ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But your mom, she could take you.
My mom's 4'11". My mom makes Chip look like Shaq.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But quick and nimble like a ninja.
Oh, yeah. They call her Speedy Gonzalez.
Do they?
Oh, sure. That's her maiden name.
Excellent.
I don't even know if that's true. I mean...
You don't know your mom's maiden name?
No, I don't know if they really call her that, because I mean, it might make sense. Like, I said Speedy Gonzalez because it was, you know, she's Speedy.
Uh-huh.
But my mom's maiden name is Gonzalez. Like, maybe she really did get called Speedy Gonzalez.
Do you talk to your mom?
Infrequently, you know. I try to minimize.
What's going on?
Hey, guys,
on
we're
right?
on the air.
What's happening? Oh, shoot.
No,
you got to let us know.
It's not one of those things you like, hey, mom, in high school, did they call you Speedy Gonzalez? Fill me in.
All right.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, you're getting really aggressive about this.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't know what's happening.
Feel like your brother.
Please don't. Who was the bachelorette that got dumped after she was proposed to? Was it Becca?
Yes.
Becca. Yeah.
Now, is she the hot, short-haired one?
She is a very attractive, shorter hair brunette lady. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
She's strong.
Yeah, she obviously got a great deal of sympathy from America because of how Ari done her wrong.
Well, not only sympathy via social media and people coming up to her saying, "We're so sorry about what happened." What about her Venmo? Her Venmo went off from people sending money for things like, "Have a McDouble on me. Here, lady, have some wine. You deserve it. You dodged a bullet. F that troll. Get yourself a drink, girl. This one's from New Jersey." And on and on and on to the tune of $6,000 Venmo to her to deal with her breakup. And good lady, guess what she's doing? She's going to donate the money to Stand Up for Cancer.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is lovely. Way to go, Becca. You said it was Becca, right? I couldn't possibly care less.
Yeah, but she seems like a nice lady.
But she sounds lovely and she's doing the right thing. And if you want to Venmo me, is what? No, I'm kidding.
We need to
because people Venmoed me, and it was lovely, and I can't get over some of the amounts that they Venmoed. A lot of 69 cents, nice,
yeah.
Which I appreciate. But one guy that bought us all breakfast three times because he sent $100.
And you donated that money to Beer Mug's stomach.
I did. Really did. Just really nice people. Don't Venmo me money. But if you were, it's AlliEMACKAY. Happy birthday, tattoo artist Kat Von D, actors Freddie Prinze Jr., James Vanderbeek, and Milana Weintraub, and news anchor Lester Holt. And that's what's happening.
Tim Gurney from Long Beach won his tickets to go see Imagine Dragons at the Forum, and he's qualified to see the band again in Sydney, Australia. You guys, this is a pretty good deal. We're doing it all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m. every day, and then throughout the rest of the day at noon, 3 and 6 p.m. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, destination number 3. Michael,
yes.
Your email box looks very different from mine, I'm learning.
I'm learning it looks very different than everyone's.
Yep.
I just assumed, honestly, I guess it was so normalized for me, I just assumed that everyone got ridiculously crazy spam.
Well, look, I don't know how you do it, but I hate spam in my email, and I do everything I can to stop it from getting to my email box. So, in other words, whenever I get a spam, I go to the effort to flag it as junk mail and flag it as blocked mail so that I hopefully never see it again. And we have pretty good spam filters here on the radio station email accounts anyway. But every once in a while, something will slip through. Like I got one yesterday for 3 days left to save on windows and doors, for instance. That for whatever reason, somebody decided to send that to me. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't sound like the type of spam you're getting.
No. And I got to give Gmail credit. It does do a very good job of filtering this stuff out. I don't typically get it in my inbox. I go to my junk file, and it's almost exclusively the wackiest stuff you've ever seen. And I almost like I'm questioning my own sanity. Do I need to be put behind bars because this is the stuff that the internet thinks I want?
It's the algorithm telling you this relates to your searches.
Yeah, that's really depressing.
Creep. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because Omar was saying, I'll get stuff about gardening and home improvement. And then I just looked at Mike like, that's not what Mike's getting.
It is not. It is
what,
not.
What and, kind of spam are you getting, Michael?
Well, Bean, this is what was inspiring of this game that we like to play called Spam-A-Lot.
They Spam-A-Lot!
I found some boner pills and cocaine and a wife.
They Spam-A-Lot!
And all the evil things that fit inside your life.
They Spam-A-Lot!
You want a hitman or a kidney or a slave?
They Spam-A-Lot!
Spam-A-Lot came about because I'd like to peruse my junk file, and I'll tell you, I get a lot of stuff that is, in fact, downright disturbing. Some stuff is actually pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. For instance, I start off with the headline, I know you want a tree trunk in your pants. So I click on it, and because I kind of do, mm-hmm. and it says in the email, give yourself every inch you deserve.
Oh, wow.
I kind of did deserve a couple more inches, I got to be honest. The next one came by and it said, no waiting. That was the headline. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, let's see what it is. Do you need a kidney or other internal organ? Click here.
What are you searching for?
Listen, I know I go to a lot of crazy porn stuff, but I've never once.
How is that a thing, though, where you could – there's no click here for a free kidney.
No. I don't know. I mean,
is this dark web stuff?
It might be. It may be because I do use the Tor, the Onion router, to mm-hmm. from my personal computer to get onto the dark web to get all that fun stuff.
They spam a lot.
Ejaculoid.
Oh.
The loads you want, full and satisfying.
Oh, Michael.
I know. I guess it's a supplement, a product.
Okay, I don't want to go down this road at all, but do I understand correctly that that is an advertisement for something to give you more volume?
More volume.
Who wants that?
Not any woman.
Mm-mm.
The bride of your dreams is waiting for you in Thailand right now.
Yeah, she is.
They spam a lot!
Love Swans was the headline. So I click on that. I was like, oh, it's Love Swans. It sounds kind of sweet. We know you are a shy guy, so find the girl of your dreams right here.
Hmm.
All right.
Hitman for Hire.
Oh.
And
oh.
This one's really creepy, okay? Because not only is it Hitman for Hire, but I opened it up, and on the inside, all it says is, murder it is.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't
Look, how is it even legal to advertise a Hitman for Hire? Like, how is that email even generated anywhere?
I wonder, and only because of that horrible story about the guy from As I Lay Dying, the band, who solicited a hitman on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this is a way to kind of find out who is potentially interested mm-hmm. in, like, the FBI or the
like
ATF comes through. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I did not click. Mm-mm. Believe me, because I don't want a hitman.
Mm-mm. No, you do your own work. Yeah, you don't farm that out. That's too important for a job to give to somebody else.
I like to roll up my sleeves, get my hands dirty. Does a $15,000 dildo offer a better orgasm?
I would hope so.
Right?
$15,000?
So I click on that when I go in. It's an actual link to a real story about a $15,000 diamond-encrusted dildo, and it came from Lena Dunham's website broadly.
Oh, my gosh. Allie, you've been doing it wrong all these years.
Apparently. I need something diamond-encrusted. However, I don't need anything encrusted up there.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
That's concerning.
Buy cocaine legally. The best legal loopholes for drugs on the internet.
Oh.
Again, how is that legal?
Don't know.
You can't, okay.
It could all be just totally fraudulent. Maybe it takes you to a link that just...
It's just supplements or something.
Can you forward that to me, Mike?
Yeah. Omar, I'm on it.
That's funny. We haven't heard from Omar in like a year. All of a sudden, now it's relevant to his interests.
I need your money to give you mine. Help liberate millions of dollars from my bank in Monaco.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is great. This one at least we understand. At least this one is classic. Oh, if I just had $5,000 more, I could unlock a million. You know, at least we know what they're going for here.
There's a whole collection of, you know, solicits for dating or what I imagine is prostitution. And they're all, one's private encounter. Do you want the hookup with a horny local MILF? Mm-hmm. All the sex you want to have is waiting for you right here. Shh, your wife doesn't have to know. And then finally, I bring you, without a doubt, my favorite. In fact, I flagged this email so that I can make sure that I get them in my inbox from here on out because I don't want this to be spam. The headline, Womb Raider.
What?
Turn your D into a destroyer.
Oh, no. Womb Raider.
From here on out, guys, no more Psycho Mike, no more Mike Catherwood. Mm-hmm. Let's just go with Womb Raider. Can we please? Thank you.
I feel like Lorde is one of those artists who's still going to be around in 25 years. Don't you guys? Like she's legit and here for reals?
Yes. And she's so young, too. So
yes.
Sure. Absolutely.
That is for Rosie via the Kevin Bean Twitter account and Whitney via our Instagram account. Team by Lorde. Ryan from Long Beach, your request coming up next from churches here on International Women's Day on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:39. Allie, what's happening?
Well, Bean, for you, the Disney streaming service expected to launch the end of 2019 has a show that's going to come out on it. Jon Favreau has been tapped to write and executive produce the live-action Star Wars series on their service. Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. First of all, Jon Favreau, enormously talented filmmaker.
Sure.
Has there been a live-action Star Wars series before? I know there has been animated. Have they done live-action before? Anyone know?
I don't think so.
No.
Because that sounds like there may be some interest in something like that.
Sure.
I think there's going to be interest anyway, just because it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it's a whole new streaming service. You were saying it really depends on what comes out on a streaming service if you're going to pay for it. And I think just putting the Star Wars name on it is going to get a lot of
It's going to get some people in there. Yeah. I mean, that's what CBS did with Star Trek. That's why they made Star Trek their premiere series on the paid service, is because they know there are a lot of people out there who will follow Star Trek anywhere.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Not so much.
All right.
I hear good things about it. It's just, you know, I'm in the same boat as everybody else is. Look, how many things can you pay for? You're already paying for, you know, Hulu. You're already paying for Netflix. You're already paying for cable. Maybe you're an Amazon Prime member. I mean, at some point, it adds up to a lot. You want to see all the content, but not everybody can afford all of it.
It's too much goodness. I feel like we need to pull back on it. Remember when we were kids and there were like two TV shows?
There is decision anxiety. You know, I mean, there is a lot of that with just being too much good, too much to choose from. There's something to be said for kind of limiting the options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like having a closet, you know, that's just giant and crammed with clothes. You almost forget about what you have. I mean, there was something special about, like, the appointment TV. I remember being a little kid and realizing, like, it's time for Cheers, man.
Yeah.
Got to get up. Got to carve out some time.
Did you? For Cheers?
Not so much.
What were you, like, 8 watching Cheers?
I was a big Cheers fan. That was like my special adult show when I was
like
a little
it.
Boy. Yes.
Okay. All right. It's kind of like Cheesecake Factory. That's like a 30-page menu.
You're too much.
Everything's amazing. I never have anxiety until I go to a Cheesecake Factory.
And then you get paralyzed with decision making.
Exactly. And I'm like, do you just have soup?
You know what? You know what you don't get?
What?
Anxiety at?
Where?
In and out.
True.
So you're like, is it double-double or is it cheeseburger day? Boom.
Yeah.
Quality, not quantity. Kabaka. Bang, bang.
You're just making noises.
A lot of noises.
With your mouth.
Onomatopoeia, they say.
All right, moving on, but staying with Star Wars, Mark Hamill is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today.
Yeah!
Yes. at 11:30 in front of the El Capitan Theater. George Lucas and Harrison Ford will both be on hand to help him unveil that star.
Oh, yes! Oh, I love it!
I love it as well. And, again, sticking with Star Wars, composer John Williams says he's finished with scores for the Star Wars movies and that Star Wars Episode 9 will be the last movie in the franchise that he'll be doing. He told listeners at a radio station, KUSC, that we know J.J. Abrams is preparing one now that I will hopefully do next year for him. It'll round out a series of 9, and that will be quite enough for me.
Yeah, that's a lot of movies to do in the same series, for sure.
A lot. But
I'm glad KUSC can get John Williams on, and we can't, by the way.
I mean, I'm sorry about that. Did we try to get him on?
That was hurtful.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Dave called him personally. He said,
did he?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Oh, can you come on the show?
I wouldn't take that call.
No, I can't.
That was a killer John Williams.
Thanks.
Right there. Very good stuff. Wow. Former FBI Director James Comey has booked his first ever late night talk show appearance.
The FBI!
Yeah. He is going to be on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on Tuesday, April 17th. That's the same day his book comes out in bookstores nationwide. That book, A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership. What will he say? You guys, a lot could happen between now and April 17th.
Sure.
So what if he gets on there and, like, the world is just completely changed? He's like, told you.
He is the founder of ISIS.
I don't think he is. I'm almost positive he's not. Almost positive. Yeah. And director Michael Bay has lined up his next two films, in case all of you were wondering, what's Michael Bay been up to? He'll be doing Six Underground, a movie written by the same guys that did Deadpool and Deadpool 2, and a new thriller based on the best-selling book, Robo...
Cop.
Cop-alypse.
Really?
Robo-Cop-alypse.
Cop-alypse is the name of that. That's the new Michael Bay.
Robo... Cop-alypse.
Michael Bay is one of the most hardworking and creative directors in film history and is better than Steven Spielberg.
Well, funny you should mention that. It's about humanity's war against robots, which are controlled by a powerful artificial intelligence. The film was originally going to be done by Steven Spielberg and star both Anne Hathaway and Chris Hemsworth, but now Bay will be producing it, and stars still have to be cast. So did Anne Hathaway and Chris Hemsworth, did they just find out that he's doing it? They're like, out!
That's exactly what happened.
Thinking about it.
And Kevin's already in line.
That's probably. Michael Bay, get back on it. Let's go. We need more.
There he is. Wow, thanks for popping up, Kevin. We appreciate that. Oh,
I guess now Vin Diesel is going to be starring in it instead.
And Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
RoboCop.
Is that your Vin Diesel?
Sure is.
Or is that Stallone?
Hey, what?
All right. Happy birthday, Kat Von D, Freddie Prinze Jr., James Vanderbeek, Lester Holt, and Milana Weintraub. And that's what's happening.
Thank you so much, Allie. And hey, on your drive home today, I would like to remind you to listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We do get a lot of people asking, how random is it if it happens every day at the exact same time? You have to take that up with Honda. I don't have the answer to that, and I understand your concerns. Tomorrow on the program, actually, I think this is going to be pretty good, you guys. More tickets to the Sold Out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show that we will give away. Avenged Sevenfold's M Shadows and Prophets of Rage's Tom Morello will both be in studio with us in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow. Why are we putting those two together? Because they are touring together, and we'll discuss that all coming up. Have you ever wondered how it works at the Staples Center when they have, say, a Kings game in the afternoon and a Lakers game at night? What's involved in the transformation of a venue like that from one sport to another to get an entire audience in, play a whole game, get them out, bring in the next audience, play an entirely different game, and get them out? We're going to talk to the president of the Staples Center on the program tomorrow about that. I think that is a fascinating topic. And it's Friday. That means we'll keep it 100. You get a chance to choose the music just after 9 a.m. That's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock.